Game on!
Yeah, game on!
Blue Jackets fans, your time is now.
That's an attention getter.
This is CBJ in 30, presented by Tel-Hio Credit Union. Find out more and open an account online at telhio.org.
Do it. Do it.
Now, here's your host. He may not be the biggest.
For some reason or another, you sound a little taller on radio.
But he's certainly the best.
I know he's got balls of steel, that guy.
Bob McGilligan.
Oh, thank you.
Welcome to a special off-season edition of CBJ and 30, presented by Tel-Hio Credit Union. I'm Bob McElligott. I hope that your off-season is going well. I'm going to be honest with you. Mine is, well, it's fine. It's okay, but I've told you this before, and I'll tell you again. At the end of the season, you go from going 100 miles an hour one day to going zero the next day, and there is still a transition period and an adjustment period. I'll also be quite frank and honest with you in telling you I have not watched 1 minute of Stanley Cup playoffs since the Blue Jackets were eliminated by the Boston Bruins. Yes, I've seen the highlights. I know who's going to the Stanley Cup final. I know the Bruins are going to be well-rested to take on the St. Louis Blues, all of that stuff. I get it, but I just can't bring myself to sit down and watch these games like I did when the Blue Jackets were involved in the first two rounds of the Stanley Cup playoffs. So now, with all of that being said, last Friday was another historic day for the Columbus Blue Jackets. This one, not so much a good one. Well, I don't think that's fair. I think it is a good one in many respects for a lot of people involved. But John Davidson resigned his position as the president of hockey operations for the Blue Jackets on Friday. It was later announced, it was announced that he is going to be taking over as the president of the New York Rangers. That press conference just took place earlier today. A while ago, as a matter of fact, the Rangers introduced John Davidson in New York. He took questions from reporters. He was the same John Davidson that we saw here for the past 7 years, talking about patience and building and identifying the best traits of players, all of those things. Again, everything that we came to be accustomed to here in Columbus when he first came in the door back in 2012, talking about building brick by brick. And he put together a lot of bricks. And he and Jarmo Kekäläinen have built a wall here with those bricks. And that's why the Blue Jackets have been so successful in the last seven seasons. I mean, if you look at what they did from the time that John Davidson arrived, and let's not forget, when John Davidson came here, this team had just finished dead last in the league. There were a lot of question marks. There was a lot of head scratching. When you looked around the hockey operations department, Scott Housen was the general manager, and Scott did a good job. And many of you may not think that he did such a good job, but he really did, because he put together some pieces that were already in the organization when John Davidson showed up. Now, it wasn't going to turn out to be Scott Housen's job to put those pieces together, but he did assemble pieces that Jarmo Kekäläinen started to put together in what led to then what Jarmo added to it and has turned this franchise into what it is right now. But at that time, Housen was a GM. There were a lot of questions. The team, after making the playoffs during the 08-09 season, had plummeted to dead last. They had gone through a couple of coaches. There were more questions than there were answers at the time. And John Davidson came in here from St. Louis and provided a steadying hand. And that's what the Blue Jackets needed at that time. They needed a steady hand running the hockey department. Eventually, John Davidson replaced Scott Housen with Jarmo Kekäläinen, making him the first European general manager in the history of the NHL, and the rest of it has been history because these guys assembled a winner. In John Davidson's time here, the team went to the playoffs four times. They've gone three times in the last three seasons. They've had winning records. They have done – John Davidson did everything that he could do here as a member of this franchise, except get them to the Stanley Cup final and win a Stanley Cup. And this would have been the year – that could have happened. He really could have went out at the top, but the Boston Bruins got in the way. But let's let's just remember what John Davidson has done, because I know a lot of people are upset about this. They see this as the first person out the door and what could be a mass exodus this summer. I think this is a good thing. I think it's good for John Davidson. I think it's good for Jarmo Kekäläinen. I think it's good for the Columbus Blue Jackets, because they're not replacing John Davidson with another hockey operations president. This franchise has grown to the point where Jarmo Kekäläinen is well-established. He is well-respected. He is smart. He has made shrewd moves. He has made big moves. And he has shown that he can handle everything that goes into running a franchise here in the NHL. So he gets more responsibility. He is now an alternate governor, which means that he's going to go to some more meetings and have some more say. And John Davidson's going to move on and try to replicate what he did with both the St. Louis Blues and the Blue Jackets with the New York Rangers, a team that he played for, a team that he broadcasted for, going to a city where he spent most of his life. He is going home in many regards, is John Davidson. And that's why, really, it's got to be seen as a happy day, not a sad day, because this is what we do. People in this pro sports profession, this is what we do. We go from one challenge to another challenge, and if somewhere down the line a job that is considered to be a dream job becomes available to you, it's a hard thing to turn down. And I don't know that I would turn it down, and I don't know a lot of people that would turn it down. So for John Davidson, this is a great opportunity for him. As I mentioned, he was just introduced to the New York media a short time ago, and I have him with me right now. So here is the former president of hockey operations for the Blue Jackets and the current president of hockey operations for the New York Rangers, John Davidson. And JD, last week when you resigned, you sent out an all-staff email, and one of the things that you said in that email was that this was a gut-wrenching decision for you and your family. I'd just like you to explain how gut-wrenching it was from the time that you found out that this was even a possibility, that the Rangers were interested in you, the process from that time until the time you decided to resign from the Blue Jackets and take the job in New York.
Well, it's changing big time for sure, Bob. You know, when we were in the playoffs, that's where your mind is. That's what you're trying to focus on and be a major part of. And once the playoffs were over, things started to change a little bit. We had to make a decision as a family. And Columbus is, you know, you take a, try to find negatives with Columbus. There isn't any. There just isn't. It's a great city. It's a great sports city. They've gone through a lot of rough times with the Blue Jackets and still supported them. And then things have changed a little bit, and the support is, it's like it's quadrupled. It's been just amazing. It's a fine, fine city to raise families. The civic leaders of this city, and I've gotten to know a lot of them, really push to make the city better every day. Education for kids is spectacular, the whole thing. But I think our team is in a spot now where it's in really good shape. Jarmo Kekäläinen, he'll be in charge. He's now got a lot of experience. And I, you know, Mike Priest, who's been a great man for me to work with, everything's recognized. So the opportunity came along regarding the Rangers, and our family had lived there for 28 years. And as a player, a broadcaster, the whole thing, and so I know what I'm getting myself into. It's going to be different, but it's a challenge again. I've gone through it twice with St. Louis and Columbus. So we decided, what the heck? Blue Jackets are in great shape, going to go back to where I was for 28 years, and here we go. It's about that simple.
And it really is a dream job, right? I think all of us have a dream job in this business. Very seldom does somebody from that dream call you and offer you a spot. So for you, it must be pretty surreal to get this chance.
Yeah, that's very fair to say. I'm 66 years old. So, you know, there's not a lot of kicks at the can left at this type of stuff. So I decided, you know what? It is the Rangers. I played for them. I was around there all those years. I really have a great admiration for the city. I've told a lot of players that I talk to about life in general, if you ever have a chance play for the Rangers. Rick Nash, for instance, you know, he's moved back to Columbus because of, simply put, how great this is for him and his family. It's that simple. But he also really enjoyed his time playing for the Rangers. There's something about sports in New York City. It can be hard, it can be great, but it's quite an experience. So yeah, it's a dream job. There's no question about that. That thought of running the Rangers wasn't really at the front of my mind, though, because we had put our roots down here in Columbus. But when the call came and they asked permission, I decided to listen, and I get what they're trying to do because it's the same as what we were trying to do here and what I was trying to do in St. Louis. A lot of those young guys we drafted and traded for, Yarmo was a big part of it. They're now in the Stanley Cup Finals. I feel very proud about that for the way those guys are playing. It's hard to win in this league, really hard. It's hard to make the playoffs. And so headed to New York and back to the drawing board.
Talking with former Blue Jackets president of hockey operations, John Davidson, who is leaving to go to the New York Rangers. Let's go back to when you first got here. This team in Columbus had finished dead last in the league. There were so many questions. It was really, in many respects, this team was in disarray. It needed a rudder to steer the ship in the right direction. You came in, as you mentioned, you'd already done that in St. Louis. You'd already taken that organization that needed direction and put it on the right track. You came in here to Columbus. At first, you kind of let it go, assessed everything, didn't make big changes. And then the biggest one you made when you hired Jarmo Kekalainen to be your general manager. But how many times, especially since you've decided to leave, have you thought back to that very first year? Have you gone back 7 years in your mind and remembered what it was like when you got here as compared to what it's like now?
Somewhat, yeah. I know that a good portion of the hockey world probably rolled their eyes when I brought Jarmo in to be the general manager. And Scott Housen was a good man, or is a good man. He sent me a text the other day wishing me luck. I love talking to Scott. But we just needed a change. Excuse me. And bringing Jarmo in, I knew his ability to analyze talent, to get into the drafting world, to make trades, to see who does this, who does that. He's one of the best in the world at it. I knew that he was a person that had lived over here for a number of years, but at the time was back in Finland, his home country, running the number one team there as the boss. So there was a lot of good things. It's just a matter of getting experience. And he's now got experience. He's not afraid to do things. He's a very competent guy. excuse me. The tail was wagging the dog a little bit, and we had to change that. And I think the addition of John Tortorella really made a big difference in that area. The coach had to run the room for a while, and it's basically now, through the changes of the culture, if you may, it's now the players' room. The young players that were here and were brought in by us are now the guys that run the room, and they run the room the right way. Well, of course, Nicky Foligno's the captain. He's not considered a young guy, but he does a great job working with the young guys. And they also have, in turn, a good communication level with the head coach. So it works. So I think that there's never a magic bullet. There's never a quick fix. You have to slow down, think about it, try to arrange changes if necessary. It's hard sometimes when you're dealing with contracts, the whole thing. But the other thing that's very important here, and I'm remiss in not saying it earlier, is that if you don't have patient ownership, and John P. McConnell, you know, we missed the playoffs after that dreadful start to one season. He could have made changes. But he has seen other sports franchises that continue to make change, and not have success. He decided to stay with it and allowed us to continue with our plan. And to me, that was huge. Another fellow that was very important, well, of course, Brian Ellis, he's one of the men that run the team. The other was John Wolfe, and God bless him, he's gone now. But that guy's a smart, it was a brilliant businessman and understood what we were trying to do and understood that these things just don't, with a snap of a finger, don't happen. And it's, you're dealing with humans, and it's trial and error, and it's, you hope that you're right a heck of a lot more and you're wrong. So a lot of it has worked out. I credit the scouting staff when we drafted Pierre-Luc Dubois. That surprised a ton of people. I remember when we were walking up to the podium, the gasps from all the people when we announced his name. But I think it's worked out. Proud of the scouts for what they've done. So there's many different areas that you try to go forth with and try to develop. The number one thing, though, is what you mentioned, and that is if you don't have the right people and the right culture, you just have no chance. And they're in a good place right now.
You know, it's funny, as you talk about all of that, and you mentioned the Dubois thing surprising people, I was thinking about the day that you made the announcement that Scott Housen would no longer be the GM and that Yarmo was coming in. Because in the NHL, I think you set a tone in a way, because in the NHL, there's always this speculation, and you were part of the media, so you know how it works. There's always these rumors and things going on where one day it was the Blue Jackets like this, the next day you were walking in and saying, Scott is out and Jarmo Kekäläinen is coming in, and the first question is, who? Who's this guy? But
And how do you pronounce his name?
How do you pronounce his name was very important for me. You're right. But it was very under the radar. And then Yarmo comes on, and then Yarmo is able to make these surprise under the radar moves, like acquiring Brandon Saad from the Chicago Blackhawks, then sending him back to the Blackhawks and getting Artemi Panarin. How have you guys, as a group, how did you manage to do so many things that went so undetected in this league?
I think that, you know, we're not, Columbus isn't the Toronto Maple Leafs or whatever. It's Columbus, and it is a quieter. They don't flaunt. Columbus doesn't flaunt. It's quieter in a lot of different ways. I think that as a group, we Yarmo is the man that pulls the trigger. There's no question. But what's important is sitting in a room and having discussions. Right now, the group included Basil McRae, of course, Bill Zito. Josh Flynn, and you reach out now Rick Nash is here with the Blue Jackets, and he's very current and has very good opinions on a lot of things. So I think that Yarmo reaches out to people that scout and work for us, and you become an information gatherer, and you try to weigh things: how old, how injured, how many years left on the deal. What do we need? Where are our weak links, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And sometimes these things flow in the right direction. Then the general manager has to make the decision, blessing of ownership, and away you go. So I think that when you get to know people like Yarmo, he's not a flaunter either. He's not one of those guys that pounds his fists or does things to get notoriety. He does things that help a team win. A classic way of looking at it is, this wasn't John Davidson and the Columbus Blue Jackets. This is not Jarmo Kekäläinen and the Columbus Blue Jackets. It's the Columbus Blue Jackets. And you work under the umbrella of a great organization, and you go to work. And that's what Jarmo does, along with Bill Zito and the rest of the crew, and get their work done. It's not going to be easy going forward. The higher you climb up these mountains, the tougher it is. But they've done a good job. There's a lot of young players, too, by the way, that are going to be players on this team over the next while that are good quality young players.
Talking with John Davidson, he's leaving the Blue Jackets to go to be the president of the New York Rangers. You know, when you're talking about the young players, it's funny because as I've looked at fan reaction over the course of the last couple of days since you resigned from the Blue Jackets, there are two things that people bring up. Number one is they're concerned that you know the inner workings of the Blue Jackets and all this talent that's coming up. And the other one is, of course, that this is a year where the Blue Jackets may and probably lose a Sergei Bobrovsky and an Artemi Panarin, and now you're leaving as well. So there's some concern and alert about that. But, you know, John Tortorella has said this numerous times. I think Yarmo has said it. Look, there's not many secrets in the NHL. It's not like you're going to take secrets to another organization in the division. Everything's pretty much, teams pretty much operate the same way, don't they? It's just making the right decisions decides who's successful and who's not.
Yeah, there's no question about it. Yarmo will be making his own decisions here in Columbus, and Jeff Gorton's the general manager for us with the Rangers, and he'll be making the decisions. There's a lot of transfer of people in the business every year, whether it's scouts, whether it's general managers, whether it's coaches. Look at the coaches. Alain Vigneault is now the coach in Philadelphia. He knows all about the Ranger players. But that's just the nature of the beast. I will honor everything that is said to be honored without question regarding the Columbus Blue Jackets. I have so much respect for this organization that the right thing will be done in that respect without question. So I don't think that that's a problem at all, nothing whatsoever.
I want to ask you about John Tortorella, who you mentioned a little bit ago. You know, if you look at the New York Rangers had you as a player and as a broadcaster for a long, long time. John Tortorella was a head coach with the New York Rangers. Who would have ever thought that the likes of you two guys would once be in Columbus, Ohio, right?
When we decided to make a change, you go through the different people available, but we knew, first of all, Torts is Torts, and I know Torts as well as anybody. And a lot of times, you talk to him maybe more than anybody this year with all the interviews and everything else. The point is, the Torts you know, and I don't mean to put words in your mouth, is a lot different than what is perceived in the world of sports. And for me, I knew that. But I also knew that we needed to find somebody who's going to come in here and straighten it, where the players are going to look up and say, when he speaks, I'm listening. And it's developed into terrific mutual respect. Of course, nothing's ever perfect. There's always going to be bumps and humps and things like that. But, boy, the compete level of the Blue Jackets, the locker room professionalism is all in a good place. And we made that decision to go with Torts. I'm glad I was a part of it because I knew him better than anybody else here. And he's a worker. So I think that's really paid dividends for this team.
You're right. I do talk to him more than anyone else. He reminds me all the time.
But do you agree on what I said about the perception?
I agree 100% on it. As a matter of fact, I want to personally thank you for bringing him in. And I mean that from numerous standpoints. First of all, is what you said and how he's helped to change the culture. But the black and white approach is so refreshing. And look, I've been in this game a long time in the minors and now here in the NHL. And I mean, he's right up there as one of the two best guys that I've ever worked with as a coach, just because of the honesty and the upfrontness and the accountability. And he holds everybody, and I know you'll agree with this, he holds you accountable whether you're his top-line centerman, his defenseman, his goalie, or whether you're a broadcaster, because if you're not ready to do your job, he's going to let you know about it.
Yeah, you know what I'm hearing more and more as I'm 45 years now in this league, but I'm hearing more and more and more that players want honesty. And if you get the proper honesty, it's very beneficial. If you get the garbage and the kiss butt type stuff, it doesn't work. It doesn't make you better. Or if you get the honesty and it's delivered in a very harsh, ridiculous sense, that doesn't help either. But if you do it the right way and you know people are humans and you know people care, then honesty is it makes the world go round. It just is. And I think John, he gets mad when I call him John, coach. I think Torts has evolved even better and better in that area as his career has moved around, along. You know, when you do research on a guy like John Tortorella and you talk to the people that are pros, the Freddie Modines, amongst many, many others that are pros, they're good ones that went to work and did things the right way. You won't hear a negative word about from these guys about Torts. They'll all say how much he helped them. A lot of them will say he's the best coach they ever had. And a lot of it revolves around the honesty of things to drive them, to make them better, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, that really worked out for us.
Did he do his best job as a coach this past year, in your opinion?
I would say he and Yarmo together did a great job. You know, it's hard to be a one-man show, and it's hard for Yarmo as the decider to make decisions without them being informed, and the two of them got together a lot and discussed things, and they have a mutual respect for each other, which is very, very good. And this year was tumultuous, to say the least. I think we could write a book on this season. But that's sports, too. That's just what happens. It's an interesting game. It's an interesting dynamic. It's an interesting thing that so many different things can happen throughout a season. And we ended up gluing everything together. You know as well as I do, when this team lost in Edmonton on its last long road trip, things were bad. It was a terrible game by our club. We had, fortunately, 2 days off in Vancouver after that before we played. And everybody got together, and they went through some very serious discussions. And that was, as I've said many times, after that, I didn't know if this team was going to go north or if this team was going to go south. But when they came on that ice at University of British Columbia for practice, that was the best practice I'd seen all season long by a mile. I had a good feeling. And things went straight north. I'm still not bitter, but very disappointed in the Boston series. I thought we played great in Game 6. We hit four goal posts and crossbars. I thought we were the better team in that game. I also thought that that series was such a good series, it deserved 7 games. But it didn't, and on we march.
One last thing I'm going to ask you, JD. You talked about being with the Blues, setting them in the right direction. Now they are very deep in the playoffs. Being with the Blue Jackets, getting them in the right direction. They make history, win a playoff round for the first time ever. Now you move on to the Rangers, who are in a rebuild. Are you hoping that maybe this time you can stick around until it's finally over? Because you keep building and you're not there for the end. But how much do you enjoy the building aspect of it?
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love seeing young people come in, young players, and see them grow. It's been, if I think of St. Louis, to see Alex Petrangelo come in, to see the Parekos come in, many of the players come in there, Schwartz, Tarasenko, all these guys, and to see them grow into men, to see them get married and have kids and families. It's life. It's fabulous. And having success doing it for them is great for them. Here, same thing. We've seen many, many. Pierre-Luc Dubois came here as a young guy, and now you see him, he's number one center. It's great to see that stuff. To see Cam Atkinson, who was here already, but to see him grow, to see him set his roots here, to see him have a child here with his wife, it's fantastic to watch all this stuff. To see Nick Foligno grow as a captain, for instance. We waited. That was hard to wait. People couldn't understand why we were waiting to make a captain, somebody a captain. But you know what? You got to do it right. And if it takes time and it takes patience, well, I'm the right guy for patience. Because there's no quick fix. You can't do it. I'll never forget being in St. Louis at the town hall meetings with season ticket holders. And they really wanted to trade a second rounder for a 34-year-old to give us a chance. Bad timing. We're going to live this, and you'll see the results. So they've had a good franchise. It's really built up for them. So it's what it's about. Now, regarding sticking around, someday I'm going to have to ride into the sunset and enjoy life. That'll be down the road. I hope New York is the last stop for sure.
Well, JD, for a guy that grew up watching you broadcast the Olympics and watching you broadcast the Stanley Cup Final and having a chance to work with you for the past 7 years, it has truly been an honor. It's been a lot of fun. I have great respect for you. I wish you the best of luck, but not too much luck because you're in the same division as the Blue Jackets. But it has been a pleasure, and I appreciate you taking the time for me and for the fans today.
Okay, my pleasure, Bob. Thanks very much. Regards to you. Keep your relationship going well with Torts. Regards to your family, and I really appreciate it. All the best.
John Davidson, former president of hockey operations for the Blue Jackets, now moving on to take the same role with the New York Rangers. Again, it's a new day in the Blue Jackets organization. I think it's a good day. I think there are many good things to come. And I'm sure that as we go on here, some things will look to be bad, or there will be some things that don't look like a good result can come out of them. Let me put it to you that way. But, you know, this is just life. Things move on. People change. People go from one place to another, and other people come in. And that's the one thing you don't know. Who's going to come in? Who's going to take the place of somebody that leaves? Who is going to shine that you never even thought about? Alexander Texier is a great example. Who would have thought this kid would come in and play in the National Hockey League at the end of the season and would play in the Stanley Cup playoffs and have success in the Stanley Cup playoffs? I don't know about you, but I didn't see it coming. So keep those things in mind as we go along here. Emil Bäckström has been signed by the Blue Jackets. Maybe he comes in and makes an impact. He'll get the opportunity. Elvis Merzlikins maybe makes an impact in goal. And I don't know what's going to happen in any of these positions. I really don't. But what I can tell you is that we get the opportunity. And JD said this when he came in. JD said in year one, grow with us. And the Blue Jackets are going to be growing again. There's another growth process that is beginning this offseason. And I don't think that is a bad thing because there are so many other pieces in place. The growth of Seth Jones, the growth of Pierre-Luc Dubois, the growth of Zach Werenski, just amongst others. That growth is taking place and is at another level. And there will be more growth this summer. And as things change during the offseason, as events warrant, I will bring you CBJ and 30. No question about it. And it's thanks to my good friends over at Telhio Credit Union, where you know that they take care of you and your money, whether it's your personal finances or you have a small business. They'll help to take care of your finances in that way as well. All you have to do is go to telhio.org, find out everything about what they are, who they are. Click on the live chat button. If there are questions that you have, stop by one of their local offices. If you'd like to speak to somebody, Telhio Credit Union is open to everyone in Central and Southwest Ohio. But again, through the course of the summer, I will bring these to you when there are things going on. And if you feel that there's something going on that you'd like to ask me about, you can always do that by going to Twitter and finding me at Bobby Mack Sports. That'll do it for this special edition of CBJ and 30, presented by Telhio Credit Union. Until next time, I'm Bob McElligott saying so long.